That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Meredith is taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. That'd be Meredith Kane. She'll be doing 2020s moving forward. Dan Menigan standing behind the glass for us. We're going to get into the Guardians and their draft and their good play going into the break in just a second. We were talking about the Browns, Quinshon Judkins, what's ahead, what's going to happen. Hopefully we find out some real facts behind this case. Before we get to the baseball, Steve's in Cleveland. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Morning, guys. I love the show. I listen to you every day.
Thanks.
To get into it, Andy, I agree with you. The NFL needs to have some kind of orientation for these rookies coming in. I don't care when you start. If you sign them towards the end and the season's already, they got to go through the orientation first.
Yeah, so
good companies do this.
Yeah, Steve, they do. They have the NFL rookie transition program. They did it for years, and they did it in Cleveland. So, like, all of the rookies would come in, and it just reading what they have online from NFL operations, they're just saying that nearly 55% of all NFL rookies signed with their clubs as undrafted free agents. So that meant that more than half the new players weren't receiving the information that they needed. So now what they do is, I think they do this whole thing online, and they've got to watch. I mean, but yeah, you know as well as I do, if you're not doing it in person and someone's saying, you've got to watch this, although I do want to say that when our company makes us do this, I watch these things intently. I want to know everything.
You're all over them, baby.
Because I don't want to miss any of the questions at the end.
Sure.
But, I mean, sometimes people just kind of fly through and half listen to stuff that's online, especially when no one's monitoring you. You know what I'm saying? The league
exactly.
Does, but they need to do more. That's the thing.
They need to make it for each team. Each team needs to do their own orientation, and then you have to inspect what you expect. So then every year you should call, at least the first 2 years, call them back in, call the sophomores back in, and go over it again so they understand the rules. Same thing in business. Every day I'm a manager. I go over the rules with the people in the building so they understand if the consequences.
There you go. And Steve, I agree with you. They need continuing education, I think, just like we all have to. So at NFL operations, which anyone can see this online, they make the rookies go through 15 mandatory topics, which range from player benefits, and just like any of us would in any other work situation, player expectations, the importance of sportsmanship, respect in the workplace, media responsibilities, how to work with their PR staff, social responsibility, and it says straight out, social responsibility for players, which covers the league's policies and the ramifications of issues like driving under the influence or committing acts of domestic violence or sexual assault. It is right there for every player to see. I mean, they're not hiding from it, and they know it's an issue, but they've got to try to do more with it.
All right, can I throw this out, though?
Sure.
Are you a citizen?
Yes.
It's right there for all of us to see. It's called the law.
Well, they want to hold their players to higher standards than just the law. The law shouldn't be the bar. It should be the floor.
I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. We've just been given the police report about all this incident. We'll go through it. And if there's anything in it that we're not aware of, we'll pass that along.
It's the probable cause statement is from the Fort Lauderdale Police Department.
So we'll check that out and get back to you. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Guardians are drafting baseball players. Strange for the Guardians. They're drafting big baseball players who hit the ball hard. One of them is a shortstop, but he's 6'3". How about that?
Hmm.
And he hits the ball pretty hard. I kind of like that. Clearly, they've had some kind of a philosophical shift here, Andy, because you're not able to sit here and tell me, I wouldn't believe it anyway, that the best player available, if that's what they're looking for, happened to be in a row for the Guardians. 6'6", 230 pounds, 6'3", 218, 6'3", 219, 6'5", 223, all with resumes where they hit the baseball. Three of them outfielders.
How about that? How exciting is that?
Well, I just, I'm not even going to be exciting because Mr. Baseball himself, Dan Manigan, I was talking to him about it before the show, and I said, boy, you know, they draft all these guys. It's the baseball draft that doesn't matter. Yes, that's true. It's such a crapshoot as to whether these guys develop or not. The interesting thing to me is that these are, and everybody will tell you, Kyle McDaniel, ESPN, Guardians lean into power. The Guardians often draft or sign internationally hit-first players who are often underpowered. With Stephen Kwan, a prominent example, they swerved a lot this year. That's the point to me. It's like, wow, where'd this come from?
You despise more than anything else when people misquote you. You despise it. You loathe it.
I do.
This is one of those moments where you have misquoted me.
Oh. You hence tell them.
Hence the reason that I said, hang on. It matters. It's just a crapshoot.
Exactly.
It severely matters. It's how you build your team. It's how you have sustained success. It's how you're able to get the players that you have mixed with the fact that you could use them and use those players to make trades if you're everybody else except the Guardians.
There you go.
Just want to make sure that the record reflects as such. It's not that it's utterly meaningless.
We have
it's
that more, out there.
It's a total game of roulette.
Well, that it is. And guess what? The more chips you put down on the roulette table, the more chips you put down, the better your chances of having that little ball land in where it's the little slot that has your little number on it. So if you're looking to add power to your organization.
But you're also betting against yourself.
And you're looking to add outfielders to your organization.
Yes.
You drafted three of them yesterday in the first three rounds of the draft. They had five picks yesterday. They took one high school pitcher. The other four players, all college hitters, all big guys. I like it. Now, their number one pick is a guy named Jace. And first of all, I love this. Before last year, when his batting average in college slipped to like 258, which is not good. College hitters, if you're good, don't hit 258. Even in big time college baseball, you don't hit 258. Nonetheless, big time power guy who before the season started, there was talk that he could be the number one overall pick. His name is Jace. And then his name is LAVIOLETTE. I immediately went and looked at a lot of video on him. Mm-hmm. Interesting swing. Some might think not a good swing. Dan O'Dowd was one of those guys, former general manager of the Rockies, former assistant GM here under John Hart. Dan said, I love this guy. He hits it hard, blah, blah, blah. I would completely redo his swing. Dan hated his swing.
Huh.
Completely redo his swing because I don't think this is going to work, basically is what he said. Anyhow, that's his name. La Violette. However, every play-by-play guy that I heard do the game said Lavalette, like lava, and then, you know, like a lava lamp. Every play-by-play guy said Lavalette.
Huh.
We've seen, what?
Lavalette.
Laviolette, written down as a pronunciation.
Laviolette.
Laviolette is the way it would look like because after the la, it's violet.
Mm-hmm.
Here at the Fan.
This is a total Dr. Red Pen segment.
Here at the... Well, I don't want to butcher the guy's name,
I
do
don't
you?
Either. That's why I say, Lavalette! 21 years old.
There's the Andy Baskin. What's his name? All the way?
Jace Lavalette.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, here is the way that Jace pronounces his name.
Jace Lavalette.
Dan, one more time.
Jace Lavalette.
He pronounces a Y there.
Laviolette.
Laviolette. One more. Load it up, baby.
Jace Laviolette.
Jace Laviolette. Laviolette. So there you go.
Lavia.
Not lava, as every play-by-play guy who did a game for Texas A&M last year said.
Hmm.
Laviolette. Laviolette.
I'm done. Game over. Smarter. Be a hero. Be a real hero.
Kyle...
Thank you. We're not going to get any smarter than this today.
Kylie McDaniel, in his ESPN little summation of the pick, made me think, huh? And then, oh, he said, I compare him to Cody Bellinger. That made me go, huh. Or Joey Gallo. And that made me go, ah! Joey Gallo, career batting average of 194. But he hit it a long way, and he's 6'5", 6'6", 200 and some odd pounds.
I don't know.
What do you think of... What do
I think the guy can hit home runs if he's healthy. He busted his hand during the playoffs, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
I love the idea that they got a guy who, at one point, a year ago, was considered maybe the first overall pick in the draft. I also love the fact that they didn't just double down. They doubled down and doubled down and doubled down and drafted college guys, Andy, who are big and who hit. What do college guys who hit mean? Sometimes means they're quick to the majors.
Well, they're already older.
Caglione, Nick Kurtz, drafted last year, already up.
Mm-hmm.
Kurtz has done okay. Caglione has struggled, but it's been early. Give him time. In theory, I'm not going to say next year. By 2027, one, two of these guys might be knocking on the door.
Jeff, don't we say this every year? I'm just asking.
No.
I'm not trying to be...
Not with this team we don't, because they don't draft these kind of guys. Last year, they had the number one pick, and they took a second baseman, for God's sake. Nick Kurtz was on the board. He was already up and hitting for the A's. Didn't take him. Big dude who hits it a long way. Jack Caglione, big dude who hits it a long way. Already up with Kansas City. We took a second baseman from Australia, who's a good hitter and good player. He's not here. He's injured. We'll see. What this does to me, it signifies, if not a shift in philosophy, an acknowledgement that we don't have this in our system. And we need to bring in several guys who might be able to put this in our system. And they've done it. Laviolette, Aaron Walton, Nolan Schubart. Know those names. And Dean Curley is a shortstop who's 6'3", 218. Who's the shortstop of the future of this team? I don't think we have one. Mm-mm. Maybe it's Dean Curley. What'd you think of the shift in philosophy, folks? 216-474-0092. To me, at the very least, it says, man, are we lacking guys who can hit the ball hard and a long way? And we better get some, and we better get some now. Although they've been down this road before. I'll explain that next on Baskin and Phelps.